on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of the Shock Factor podcast, where I, Stephen Shock, the big, dumb, ugly ogre, am joined by the two handsome princes and, well, one king and one prince soon to be king, Jake Mintz and Jordan Schusterman. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman, how are we doing today?
Big ugly ogre. Are you gonna change your Twitter handle to that? Big ugly ogre 47.
I'm actually that username was taken, so I chose donkey. Of course, that's how I stumbled upon it. I was like, well, I love Shrek. You know,
the biggest ugliest ogre. Give yourself a little bit more credit.
That's true.
That's fair. That's fair. True. I am wearing green. It's the green really inspired it.
Yes. Of course, rocket the soldier sports hoodie. I'm sure we'll get to that really in ad read later. Steve, it's great to see you. It's Tuesday morning. We got rave reviews last week on our morning podcast, particularly from Mike Rooney. So while it is not quite as early as we recorded last week, honestly, this is maybe better for Jake and I's schedule. So this might be becoming a regular thing. We'll see how it goes. But I'm excited to talk about college baseball with you. I watched a good amount of college baseball this weekend, I got to say.
I watched none. In person, I did watch quite a few highlights after the fact. I went on vacation over the weekend to a little city called New Orleans, Louisiana, where there may have not been college baseball, but let me tell you, there were enough SEC hoodies floating around that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. That is because the SEC gymnastics championships were taking place in New Orleans that weekend.
Oh my God.
Not why I was there.
That's big time. I was just looking at the bracket. My wife has a colleague who's very into college gymnastics, and the bracket was very confusing. I believe the bracket was just released for the actual tournament. But yeah, Oklahoma is the one and LSU is the two. I don't know how angry LSU is about being the two over the one, but I understand Oklahoma, like in softball, is apparently like completely unbeatable. So looking forward to following that.
And I'm looking forward to learning what the hell happened in college baseball this weekend. Now I know, I would say there were two main things that crossed my purview, crossed my field of vision. And that is, well, let's say three. Charlie Condon got a hold of a couple baseballs. The second is that Clemson and Florida State, they played against one another a couple times. A few runs were scored, which is the third thing. And Steve, are you on board yet with there being too many runs and too many home runs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I've been waiting. I've been on the edge of my seat every year. I like when Kendall Rogers tweets out the progress in home runs. And, you know, of course, that's granted a lot more technology in the sport, as we know. But as we talk about it, just the amount of runs being scored is insane. And of course, players are more talented, but pitchers should be more talented too, right? Like, dudes are throwing 95. Like, every reliever in the SEC has 95 in the tank. And if not, they're throwing 88 from a weird arm slot, which is essentially 95 in my mind. So yeah. I don't understand how it's happening, but also as a guy who it no longer matters how many runs I give up. Sure. Fine.
You got out at the perfect time. I think we've had conversations for you, Steve. Like, if you had stuck around longer, you could have gotten that sweet, sweet NIL money. You know, however, I think if you had stuck around, you would have gotten obliterated by these supercharged equipment in the game, and you never would have made it out of App State.
Honestly, like, it's one
you'd
of those
still
things.
Be in Boone. You'd be living in Boone.
Hey, I would be... Boone, they're having a nice season, I gotta say. But if he stuck around this long, he might have had some winning.
I think I would have become one of the mountain people. I always had this recurring nightmare when I was at App State that I was going to drive my Ford Taurus and slip off a mountain because the roads mm-hmm. were like always icy and they were always steep. And so I had a deep fear that I would get stuck in a mountain, never make it out, become one of the like Appalachian mountain people like you hear about on the internet, like the mystical beings that happen in the Appalachia Mountains. I don't know if you guys are on that side of TikTok and the internet, but it's a creepy place. Apparently. I didn't know that when I was at the school. Wish I did.
With that in mind, let's hop into Clemson against Florida State.
Yeah, of course, I mean, a perfect segue into Clemson versus Florida State, but this series was like, hey, we're Florida State. We are undefeated. We haven't been beaten by anyone else. Let's see if we can beat ourselves.
Oh, and
let's see how bad we can beat ourselves.
Holy,
are they still undefeated technically? Because they beat themselves 3 games in a row.
It's a perfect example of the fact coaches will always say, look, you aren't playing against the other team. You're playing against the game. You're playing against yourself. This
man versus nature, baby.
Yeah, it was a lot of things going against you.
Here's the thing about this series. So we get rained out on Friday, right? So in the positive spin is Florida State gets to stay undefeated for an extra day, right? They didn't even have to play on Friday. And they went into March. They woke up on the morning of March 23rd, and we said, we have yet to be defeated. And then over the course of the next 12 hours, the way that, first of all, the first to be walked off in both, or wait a minute, did they get walked off in the second game? Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this game is so ridiculous.
Three walk-offs.
To get mercy rule walked off in the first game in 7 innings, and then to get walked off by allowing 8 runs in the 9th inning. I mean, they basically packed in the pain of losing a baseball game, of losing any baseball games, which they hadn't done over the first month plus, into one weekend. Like, they got it all out. They were like, oh, we haven't lost yet. We are going to lose so hard that to really make up for all the losing we have not done, it is going to happen in extreme fashion. We could do the play-by-play of it, but it is so absurd. And what Blake Wright did this weekend, let alone over the past, 10 to 15 games, is just so ridiculous. And honestly, to the theme, is like, it sucks because it's so happened so common now. I'm like, oh, he's got 30 RBIs in the last 10 games. Of course. Sure. Like, no, that's not normal. Like, good for Blake Wright. That's awesome. He's having the time of his life. But man, oh man. I mean, what a ridiculous. I was watching that second game on Saturday live, and I was shook.
Classic example. You can't go to the prevent defense late in games.
No.
It will get on you. Seeing 8 in the bottom of the 9th is really just a jarring. It's just a jarring look.
Yeah,
and the line score kind of, you're like, whoa.
That's wrong.
At what point does Blake Wright walk up to the bases loaded and we go, hey, you know what? Maybe we just put him on, Because he hits a game-tying grand slam in the bottom of the 9th on Saturday, and it's like, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't have thrown to him in that situation. And then on Sunday, I think it's like the bottom of the 7th, I want to say, bases loaded again. Another grand slam. It's like, okay, new game plan. He comes up. We just say, screw it. We'll take one run. He can't get 4.
I mean, again, this team, they were down 8-1 going into the bottom of the 9th of that second game. And then on Sunday, they're down 11-2 going to the bottom of the 6th. They score 5 in the bottom of the 6th and then 6 in the bottom of the 7th. There were, I don't know how many home runs there were in these 3 games, 15. I don't know. I certainly lost count at some point. And by the way, it's unfortunate because, that the Florida State pitching, capitulated to this degree because, I mean, Cam Smith and James Tibbs, I mean, their offense had a pretty gigantic weekend too. And we didn't even notice. I didn't even see any of these highlights of those home runs. So that's kind of the state of college baseball. But I will say, does it mean Florida State is bad? No. It does mean we clearly, not that we weren't taking Clemson seriously, but they have now ascended to a level that we have not seen them at since we've been doing this podcast together. That's for sure. And so in that sense, I think Clemson is really more of a main character than I think we've really had since we've been doing this show.
And I mean, again, right, like last year, one of the big themes was these two coaches hopping to big ACC programs. Mm-hmm. With Eric Backich going to Clemson and Link Jarrett going to Florida State. And now these are two of the best teams in the conference, like already, right? It's just a good reminder that the coaches who have success at smaller programs often know what they're doing. And you just have to be a little patient. Rome, nor Death Valley, nor Tallahassee were built in a day. Now, again, how long will these two teams be in the ACC? Who's to say? Who's to say?
But the ACC is absolutely loaded this season, which is just so much fun to watch. And so another series that I was pretty tuned into was Louisville and Wake Forest. And I feel like anytime, of course, Chase Burns is on the mound, you're going to want to watch, because back-to-back-to-back ACC Pitcher of the Week honors, which at this point, do we just call it Chase Burns pitch this week? Here's the graphic. Because it's like... Who, for everyone else in the ACC, how else can you get it? Because you got some monster throwing 101 miles an hour in the seventh inning. And it's like, okay, I'm Steve. I throw 84 at Virginia. And Steve, I'm going to try to get a really good save. Yeah, I'm not.
That's not happening. That's not happening. Like, that's all. Yeah, you just, you're not built for that.
I think with him being in the ACC, we need co-pitcher of the week honors.
So this is
the solution,
or just the non-Chase Burns pitcher of the week.
Jordan,
this is like how it was, who is the best player in baseball not named Mike Trout,
right? Like that would just be its own separate conversation for you know, 5-6 years running. So it is interesting because it does feel like the ACC, the star power in the ACC is significantly more on the offensive side, because I pull up the ACC pitching leaderboards now. And I'm trying to even see who I can fathom. Now, whatever, anyone can go out and pitch a good game and presumably be better than Chase Burns over the course of one game. But also, I'm not so sure. I mean, with respect to these pitchers, like so far this year, like Jamie Arnold is the one with the low CRA, and he's been fantastic. So, you know, credit to him. But like other than that, like it's not. I guess Santucci's the other one that you can imagine. Now, we had it so that Santucci, when they played, you know, Santucci, they didn't face each other because Chase Burns is still going Saturday. That's another thing about this. I don't know if they're ever going to change Chase Burns going on Saturday, because like that's the schedule that he's on. But like, I mean, come on. I mean, that's the other part about this in terms of winning and losing is it's already he's, you know, got the
edge. I can't wait to be like, if I was in a draft room, I'd be like, well, yeah, like, Burns is good, but he wasn't even a Friday guy.
Yeah, yeah. Just wait till he gets good enough to pitch on Fridays.
I like the Jamie Arnold call, because he's a bit of a weird arm slot guy too. He like is really funky out on the mound. I actually rode in a fire truck with him over the summer on the Cape.
Absolutely, dude.
As I'm sure most people would assume, just looking at the two of us, it's like, wow, those guys have probably ridden on a fire truck together with the Hyannis Harbor Hawk staring at them and some guy dressed as Santa Claus. And yeah, that happened, but because that's summer ball. But Jamie Arnold, you see a guy yelling Merry Christmas in July at these people in Hyannis. And it's like, that's a kid who's going to dominate the ACC this spring.
And by the way, Jamie Arnold was incredible on Saturday, only to have everybody forget about it because Clemson scored 8 runs in the bottom of the ninth. So Jamie Arnold, honestly, this was the closest he came to definitively pitching better than Chase Burns. And unfortunately, no one cared.
And this was Chase Burns' worst ACC start of the year.
Yeah. Worst start of the year, right? I mean,
no. So he had a bit of a stinker against Dayton, where he allowed 3 runs in 5 1/3. But here are his three starts in ACC play. Okay, in the opener against Duke, 6 innings, 1 run, 14 Ks. Okay. Against the University of Steve, 7 innings, 13 Ks, 1 run. All right. Against Louisville, just 12 Ks, 1 run. And he allowed 3 hits. Mm-hmm. In the other starts, he allowed 2 hits. So this is easily far and away.
Only five Chase innings? Burns,
7 innings, sorry. Seven innings, okay. 3 hits,
Yeah.
No, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, 12 Ks. Easily Chase Burns' worst ACC start. Should we as a community be worried about Chase Burns? Is Chase Burns tailing off? I think the answer is no, personally, but many out there are talking about this.
I guess what I'm saying is, if it's not going to be Jamie Arnold, who's doing all he possibly can to like win ACC Pitcher of the Week, and honestly, he still has a case this week. I'm going to say it, but I don't know. It's going to be tough. I would love to see someone else step up here. Maybe it's a Santucci. Maybe it's a Griffin Stieg or a Cam Light or a Schlesinger at Miami. But it's Chase Burns is just so far ahead of everybody else. And Wake. I mean, it's nice because there's not that much else going super well for Wake right now. So it's nice that they have Chase Burns.
But they won the series. Series win is a series win, Jordan.
That's true.
You've never done that. You don't know what that feels like.
I have no idea.
As real college baseball players, we've lived a series win.
Okay? It's a good getting drunk on Sunday. It's a bad Monday.
Let me ask you this question, Steve.
Series
win. How do you want your series win spaced out? Like, when do you want to lose the game of the 3 games over the weekend?
Like we talked about.
I want to lose Friday. I want to lose right off the bat, rip the Band-Aid off. It's like they had their best guy on the mound. Now it's the bullpen's turn to really shine. I feel like that was the key. Winning Sunday is always huge because the bus ride back after a loss.
You got to win Sunday. Got to win Sunday. You know who doesn't have their best guy on the mound on Fridays? Wake Forest.
That's the thing. That's why if you lose to Wake on Friday, you're going to bed thinking,
who cares?
Well, that was a good... Well, that's if you are Wake Forest. If you're facing Wake Forest and you lose on Friday, you're in for a rough weekend.
Steve, you also watched some LSU Florida this weekend. Tell me. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. That's a series that one would probably want to watch.
Yeah. So
I get why that would appeal to you. I understand why LSU Florida is something that you might want to turn on your television, Steve.
It's because I like the colors purple and I like the colors orange. That is the only reason I wanted to tune in. But Florida had the right plan. Lose on Friday, take Saturday and Sunday. And this series had just about everything you could want. There are a lot of home runs. Jack Caglione absolutely shoved. Bear Jones hit balls a million miles. Coach Johnson got ejected. That was new. He hasn't done that before. So he got his first ejection under his belt at LSU. I don't know if he'd been ejected before at Arizona, but it was a really interesting situation. So it all started. Bear Jones hits a home run off Jack Caglione, gives him a little look, takes a little bit of time to get to first base. Luke Heyman is playing first base because Jack was pitching. He can't play first and pitch at the same time. He can do a lot of things, but that's one thing he can't do. And Luke Heyman had some words for him, I believe. And you can see Jared Jones turn around. And if you could read the lips, it's very clearly an F you. Makes sense. You know, just did a home run above around 440 feet. I'm going to, you know, run my mouth a little. And if you run your mouth to me, I'm going to say something. Well, anyway, later on, both teams get warned about it and everything. And immediately after, like the next at bat, I think Hayden Travinsky's up. Jack Caglione kind of strikes him out, and they just kind of stare at each other. It was a mutual stare down, it seemed like. Like, I don't know who started it, but it's a situation where both teams get warned. You can't say anything. Obviously, you're going to stare at the guy. Like, this is kind of a normal thing. And Coach Johnson does not like that Jack Caglione did not get tossed for that after everybody gets warned. And he gets his words in, and the umpire is like, all right, uno reverse. We're going to toss you. And not him. So he gets tossed. And then later in the game, Jack Caglione is up to bat. I believe it's the top of the eighth, I want to say. First pitch of that, bat's a fastball, kind of up and in. The crowd's like loving it because, you know, guy plays baseball better than me. We got to hurt him. Whatever. Stupid stuff. Anyway, and I would be saying that any fan base, it's silly to me. Like, you don't need to hurt people because they reacted differently to a home run or something like that. But two pitches later, Jack Caglione hits a ball off the scoreboard at LSU, which is a backside bomb. Doesn't react, doesn't do anything, just goes about his business. But then as he's like coming back into the dugout, he's like smiling, rolling his eyes, laughing and stuff. And it was a really, really big moment, really cool series. Florida, of course, took the Saturday and Sunday games, but it had all the excitement you could want.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, Luke Holman was unbelievable on Friday. And that, I was like, okay, at this point, I feel like LSU is the better team. I feel like the offenses are at least sort of comparable. And then Florida was like, no, our offense is way better. And as good as LSU's pitching is, as seemingly deeper as they are, they kind of blitzed them. And that second game was so good. But I mean, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 homers from Florida on Sunday. 2 from Colby.
Ball was flying out there, huh?
Yeah, how about that? Thatcher Hurd continues to frustrate me. But you know what?
Not his fault. It's not his fault, Jordan.
It's not. Yeah, I guess not.
They're golf balls.
Yeah, all the pitchers are exempt. Jared Jones. Except Chase Burns. But that's the thing. That's the thing is like the top of the top. You used to talk about it, Steve. It's like the pitching talent is better. It's true, right? Like the top of the top when you watch is like that. Those pitchers have gotten so good to where college batters look hopeless, you know?
Mm-hmm. But that's once like you reach a certain bats. Level.
Like, right. But to me, it was noticing it like particularly when Chase Burns faced Duke, right? Like, so Duke has all these old guys and Duke. It's just like bullying every pitcher that they had seen up until that point. And then once they saw Chase Burns, they were like, I have no idea what to do. Now, that is, again, like the high end, like even the guys who've seen 5 million pitches in their life because they've been playing college baseball since 1993, like those guys still have not seen a Chase Burns. So the experience only takes you so far. But yeah, the talent, it's just really hard to gauge. And it just swings so wildly back and forth, even with the best teams. I think that's what's so wild is it's not just a competition thing. Even within an individual weekend, you can see a team like Florida have no chance against, you know, a future big leaguer like Luke Holman, and then just absolutely start teeing off on basically everybody else that they see. So it's a lot to process. But I will say, Steve, as you wonderfully laid out, it is quite entertaining when you have the right characters involved.
I'm also very glad that Luke Heyman and Luke Holman have played each other and we've gotten that out of the way because, God, I get those two confused so often. And
well, yeah, and Hoover, I'm sure you'll probably have to see it again and you'll be in shambles or in Omaha. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
That's also very much a possibility.
It's always on the plate.
Steve, let's stay in the SEC just for one more series and then we'll get to your giblets.
But of course,
South Carolina against Vanderbilt. Now, Vanderbilt, who had just been kind of cruising along, they had won like 15 in a row at some point. They were doing great. They swept Auburn last week. They go into Columbia and they did not have the best weekend. They had kind of their defense was kind of a mess at one point. Their bullpen was not really throwing strikes when they needed to. And South Carolina's offense was just good enough. Ethan Petrie, who I don't think we've mentioned him once this season, finally starting to heat up. Finally, he got the memo that they're playing with golf balls. And he started playing.
Oh, I should get it in the air.
So nice to see him get going there. But yeah, I mean, Steve, did you have anything on the South Carolina Vandy series? Because that was a nice statement from the Cox, as they call themselves.
I was just glad to see it because I don't really know what to think of South Carolina this year because we've seen them be really good, but we've also seen them be pretty bad at times. And I think they would admit that as well. They seem like a team that's very honest and real with themselves. And I think that's why they've been having more success and they're trending upwards because they have that, you know, self-awareness, the introspection of like, hey, look, we sucked this game and how can we not suck next game? And so, you know, seeing Cole Messina hit big time home runs too is something that's very exciting because he's a traditional catcher. He's like, to me, in my mind, when I imagine a catcher, I imagine a dude like Cole Messina, you know, a beefier, stockier dude who can hit the ball 500 feet if he needs to. But he looks like if there was a bar fight and like the team was out at a bar and there was a bar fight broke out, he would defend the team before knowing what the fight was about, and the fight would be over in like 5 minutes. I'm a firm believer he would defend the team and the fight would be over in 5 minutes. He wouldn't even know what happened or why a fight happened. And that's the kind of dude you want behind the plate.
I totally agree. And by the way, I mean, shame on us. It's not like Ethan Petrie was having a bad season. I just feel like we hadn't talked about him. I mean, his OPS is now at like 1300. So
yeah,
he's so everybody, but he has been having a good season.
Yeah, he's going golfing. He went golfing, of course, against the Commodores this weekend. Had multiple home runs, and, you know, as Commodores are. I sit here and I think, and, you know, what is a Commodore? What is that? You know,
what's the synonym for Commodore, Steve?
Is it a duck? Is it a soldier? Have you guys heard of the soldier tank? BB Core baseball bat.
I have heard of it.
Steve, that is unbelievable. If you're just listening to the audio, you need to pull up the YouTube page right now.
This bat is a gender reveal.
This bat is absolutely like, oh, it's like my screen is like so bright now. So anyway, go ahead, Steve. You have an ad reach too.
This isn't just any bat. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors, and this is thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates an ultra big, you see it, ultra hot sweet spot. If you are just listening, let me paint the picture for you. It is a Soldier Tank BB Core baseball bat, and the sweet spot is all 34 inches. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power. Designed for both power and contact hitters, it features a formula for success. If you look at the end cap right here and you really think, you can see the formula inside. It's speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the miss hits have juice with the Soldier Tank. I dropped it on my ankle. I can't walk. I haven't walked for a week because of the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it to swing the top scoring BB Core bat ever. They're selling out fast though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today.
Steve didn't even need to go to the supermarket because that thing has so much juice.
I was driving with it. I got pulled over and then the SWAT team showed up. They were like, what is that?
You got swatted.
Steve, more or less painful than swinging a scooter into your ankle.
I'm going to say it's up there. It's razor scooter levels, which if you've been there, that is the creme de la creme of ankle smash.
My favorite part about that bat is that it's the opposite of what soldiers wear. Like, those colors are like neon pink and neon blue. If we outfitted it,
Steve, yeah.
What?
Did you ask for that color specifically?
I think this is just the color. This is a 2025 Soldier Tank. This is it.
I love that Steve got a bat. What's he going to do with it?
I'm going to go hit some doubles, you know?
Steve's one collegiate plate appearance.
Soldier Sports should have sent you a freaking tennis racket.
Steve is also wearing his soldier hoodie. That was incredible, Steve. Thank you so much for sharing.
Well done.
I will say it's hard to do the underline correctly. I see why players always go opposite. I've given them flack. I'm sorry, players. I'm sorry. It's hard to think right to left.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Steve, it says on our document that Clemson tickled your giblets. We kind of already talked about
that. Oh, yeah, they did.
Did you want to, which is fine. We don't really have to add anything else. I mean, that's the objectively correct answer. So I have nothing to add there other than that they were doing a lot of tickling this weekend.
Yeah, three walk-offs is a good yank and tug. So on the giblets, I think we've talked about it enough. You know, after a yank and tug like that on the giblets, yeah. You kind of want to keep quiet, you know. Just
amen. Amen. So they move up to number three in the top 25. Other quick takeaways from the top 25. This top three is really kind of looking. Oregon State is just chilling, man. Oregon
this
State.
This is just how it goes. They're just out there on their own. Just
I guess that's always been true, but now when they are so much better than everybody else in the. Hey, shouts out to Utah who got a game off of them last weekend. Because I was looking at them being like, this team ain't losing to the Pac-12. But it seems like, you know, they just swept Washington, scored a billion runs. Pac-12 is just no bueno. So anyway, Oregon State's very good. But Steve, let's get to some of your favorite moments of the week. I have one.
Yeah, of course. So the first one I want to talk about, I have this moment and I labeled it Do the Little Things. And it's UNCW playing against Elon. We have a situation where a runner is on second and first. And the shortstop is calling for a daylight pick, which is where they run over. It's not actually called. It's not communicated. It's a surprise to the pitcher. But they run over to second base. You're supposed to spin, turn, and throw it to second base, not deliver a pitch because your shortstop is standing on second base. So a lot of the time, you don't want to throw a pitch because half your infield is wide open. Another place that is wide open is beyond the right field fence. They have a turf practice area, which is where this baseball was absolutely deposited. So that's another good way to go about it. So that, kids, is why you always do your daylight picks. And you don't even have to throw it.
I have three things to say about this, okay? Number one, do we think Elon Musk has ever watched Elon baseball? I don't like Elon Musk. If he started wearing Elon baseball gear, I would have to give him a hat tip for that. That would be very funny.
Wait, can I comment on that? The most likely way that Elon Musk would watch Elon baseball is on his godforsaken website that has become terrible because Big Donkey 47 shared it.
Yep.
This clip... is honestly every bit as loud. I don't know how many Elon clips you've shared on Twitter, but that's where he is spending his time. So that is the most likely scenario. Anyway,
so Steve, let's just talk about this from a baseball perspective quickly. The catcher's got to drop the glove. So the timing here is a little unfortunate. The second that the pitcher turns his head, the defender runs to cover second base. Now, some teams will have a play where you look home and then you pick to second, like right away. Like the cue to spin towards second is looking back towards home for the pitcher. Maybe that's the case. But if that's not the case, it's the catcher's responsibility to drop the glove when he sees the shortstop breaking towards second base, or otherwise the pitcher doesn't know. So one of those two things happens, right? It's either the pitcher's fault for getting the play wrong, or in my opinion, the catcher's fault for not dropping the glove. Last point I want to make that cracks me up is that because the pitcher doesn't look back towards the shortstop as he flashes towards second, it just like looks that the pitcher's so focused on the pitch, which makes it even funnier that it gets hit over the fence.
That is true.
Literally, it looks like the second. So like the pitcher looks back, and as soon as the defender breaks, the pitcher decides I'm pitching, which is the opposite of what's supposed to happen.
But again, it's like, hey, you know what? No problem. They didn't beat me at the six hole. So we got that going. You know, always looking on the sunny side. Speaking of the sunny side, you know where it wasn't sunny? The Niagara baseball game, they posted a clip. I believe it was the second inning. Don't know what sound I just made, so sorry about that to everybody who heard that. Second inning, they are playing Iona at home at Niagara, and there is so much snow on the ground. There are footprints from the fresh snow. If you had to... I don't know if they have replay capabilities at Niagara, but even if they didn't, just look at the footprints. The clues are there. I've watched, maybe I watched too much Scooby-Doo, but it is actively like there's probably an inch of snow on the field and they're playing this baseball game. I think it eventually did get called, but what are we doing?
So. So this is what's crazy about this, boys, is not only did this game not get called, they played this game. It was a four-hour contest.
Oh!
15-14, Niagara walked it off. Okay, so I want to see what the walk-off looked like. And then they banged the games on Saturday and then played a doubleheader on Sunday. But this was a three-hour, 44-minute game. And it says, we've talked about this before, on the box score for weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
It, just, it says it. It plays it straight. Mid-20s, light flurries.
I just want to take a moment to shout out the parents. I want to shout out the parents. The parents of these players who you can see in the background in the stands bundled up like they're, you know, fighting in Stalingrad or something. Like they look miserable.
It's the Battle of the Bulge.
Here's the thing though. Here's what's crazy. So I'm on the Niagara Twitter page because I want to go back and watch this walk off in the snow. You know what? I take it back. It definitely was called. It was called and they finished the game and they walked it off.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because the walk off, it's beautiful. It's very sunny. It's like the weather looks great.
My favorite part of this clip, Steve, like you tweeted this clip and it just says baseball weather, which gets the point across. But Niagara Baseball, their tweet with this video just says, end of the second, Max Ramirez gets the K to get out of the jam.
And this is normal.
It's like, yeah, we're playing in a, it looks like an,
okay, so that
it's
an NFC championship game.
It's kind of like it's giving vibes of a Civil War general reporting back, but it's not going great. But he's trying to like be like, it's not too bad. You know,
so like, no, I actually
all don't, normal I actually, here.
I actually don't know what you just said, but that's okay. Yeah, Jordan,
that's fair.
Just to get the facts straight here, this clip is at the top of the second. The game was suspended in the bottom of the second. They picked it up on Sunday or on Saturday and finished it. And then I think they played a doubleheader on Sunday.
So thank God the parent, you're telling me these parents did not need to sit through 4 hours of snow.
Correct. And then the games on Sunday was beautiful. I mean, I'm sure it was 30 degrees, but it was at least sunny. So, absolutely amazing stuff. Shouts out to Niagara baseball. Just amazing. We love it's almost April. It's beautiful in some other parts of the country, I guess. All right, Steve, what's next?
So, of course, we love walk-offs, and Penn State had a very exciting one. There's walk-off home runs. There's walk-off, you know, hit and runs. There's all sorts of different walk-offs. This was a walk-off check swing, which if I am a Michigan pitcher, I am infuriated. I would much rather give up a walk-off grand slam than a walk-off swinging bunt. It looks like it's just placed right outside of the pitcher's fielding range. He's a left-handed pitcher. It was kind of put down the third base side, kind of hit directly to the shortstop, but way too soft for a shortstop to ever get to it. And it ended up in a walk-off base hit for someone. So that is very exciting stuff. I want to say it was Adam Cesari, but I'm not saying that with 100% confidence.
Here's what's so unfortunate about this. Now, Michigan did bounce back and win the series, which good for them. But this is a 3-1 pitch. 3-1 is when, listen, I know the game situation is two outs. You want to 3-1 is when like it's 3-1. I mean, let's swing big, you know, let's go all out. Let's take our A swing. And that's not what this was, and they won anyway. So
not for Grant Norris.
Grant Norris.
That's who it was.
Grant Norris. But hey, shouts out to Penn State. They don't stink.
They don't, and they sell really a lot of hot dogs. That's one thing that program does well.
We know they are good at that. Ryder Helfrich is our next moment. This was an incredible one of my favorite home runs of the weekend. Auburn and Arkansas had like a 40-minute delay because an umpire got injured, kind of got like knocked in the mask, and they had to get the umpire who was going to replace him behind the plate. His gear was like somewhere far away, so it was a super long delay. They come back, and then Ryder Helfrich, true freshman catcher for number one Arkansas, who hasn't been playing super well this year, just hits one of the more aesthetically pleasing homers we'll have all season. Because it is very dark and because the fence is very high, it just kind of disappears. You do not see this ball land. As far as I'm concerned, it went 695 feet, but it is a homer you can watch over and over and over and over. And good for Ryder Helfrich, who has had a tough start to his freshman season.
It reminds me of the Barry Bonds home run against Percival in the World Series, where it's like, well, that doesn't exist in the world anymore.
We will not be seeing that ball anymore.
It's like, is matter really never created nor destroyed, only transferred? I don't know.
That's what I've heard.
I don't know if I believe it, but that's staying the with the Arkansas Razorbacks, we had Ty Wilmsmeyer. I don't know why I used a full name there. And he had an outfield assist on a throw to third base that was very satisfying to watch. He so the play was, he was kind of back against the wall. Ball goes in and out of his glove. Auburn runner at second base isn't sure if he has to tag up or what he's doing. And it bounces out of his glove, ends up like a foot in front of him. He kind of scrambles, picks it up, and absolutely chucks it to third base.
You know who that reminds me of, Jake Mintz? This guy there.
Yoannis.
That was big yo energy, just flubbing a play just so you can show off the cannon. I mean, that was brilliant. That is a wild throw.
And not only that, I think what he was probably thinking was like, okay, this ball drops. He's not running this out. He's probably just on first base. I actually think he was probably running it out, but he's just trying to gun down the lead runner. That's all it really is. And that's a selfless teammate, if you ask me.
Amen, brother. NC State walked off Duke. Eli Serrano with the homer, down by one, down the line, off of Charlie Bielenson, who's been essentially invincible until this weekend. And Danny Wex, our good friend Danny Wexman, was on the call, and it was awesome. And the reason I was especially ecstatic to see this, because I believe Danny Wex was in person. I know she's been doing a lot of games remotely over the past few years, but this was an incredible moment. And especially also walk-off homers down the line are delightful, right? Because you have that tension. Is it?
Yeah.
Won't they call this fair? So this was outstanding stuff.
I would have loved to just be at the Doak to feel that moment, because, you know, big in-state rivalry, hitting a walk-off nuke like that. Such a cool moment. Now, another cool moment was Missouri pitcher Brock Lucas. He had a comebacker hit to him, and he just kind of flicks his hand up. It's not like hits super, super hard. It's just like a charity hop. It might hit him in the shoulder if he doesn't catch it. And he just pulls up his right hand and grabs it and kind of flicks it over to first base. Like, I love when pitchers have this moment where they feel or they do something really impressive and they're very surprised by it, but they want to act like they meant to do it, you know, where it's like, oh my God, I just did that. I just fielded that. Yeah. And it's like, okay, finish the play.
It's also one where, I mean, again, I know you said the ball wasn't hit that hard, but it's one where I could imagine, like, you do it on instinct, you throw the ball over, you walk to the dugout, and then like 2 minutes later, you're like, ow, like, oh, like my hand is like broken or something, and I like didn't notice because I just like made this play.
The adrenaline's gone,
right? Yeah. Okay, three more, Steve. Three more quickly. I want to finish with this Twitter thing from Ari Gerson, which just made me laugh a lot. First of all, Travis Pizzana, four straight games with a leadoff home run. I feel, again, this is part of, you know, the balls are juice, whatever, the offense is crazy. I mean, we have all of these guys at the top of the draft this year are doing it. You know, I know JJ Weatherholt's been hurt and that sucks. Vance Honeycutt, he's heating up too, so we'll be talking about him more. But every weekend, I mean, Condon and Bisonna and Cags and like all these guys that we've been talking about as like clearly competing for this top pick, Chase Burns too. They're all doing it, Hagan Smith. They're all doing it, right? There's no – and so it makes this conversation where it's like, yeah, it's obviously Condon. It's like, no, it's actually obviously Bisonna. It's like, no, it's actually obviously Cags. And like that's a cool place to be. And I know we sort of had that last year with Skeens and Cruz and Langford. But this one, I'm very excited to see how this continues to evolve the season because they're all doing exactly what we could have possibly hoped. So in that sense, I'm very grateful. And Bazana's numbers are going to end up in a very absurd place because Condon is at least probably going to slow down. He will have a tough weekend at some point in the SEC. I am not sure that is going to happen to Travis Bazana. And so I imagine his numbers are going to be in a quite a silly place.
Yeah, and it's honestly just really fun to watch the way he plays the game because, like, his passion and his energy level is completely different from a lot of the guys we typically see, and it's just so much fun. And I think, you know, just credit to his upbringing and how competition is in Australia. It's, of course, different, but the way they show passion, also different. And so it's really cool seeing him come to America and share that passion with us for no reason other than the fact that he wanted to play baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is absolutely correct. And I think the more we all get to learn about Travis Bisonna will be a good thing. Steve, the umps were really at it this weekend. My gosh.
They were out and about.
I'm done. I don't know if we should even get like what are we doing? How did we get to this point?
Everybody got soft. I think the problem so we had three ump shows in major capacities. We had, of course, the Jay Johnson ejection. Colby Branch hit a walk-off grand slam for Georgia, threw his helmet, got tossed for that.
Incredible. If he Getting tossed after a walk-off grand slam, great time to get tossed.
Well, it was actively during. This is the good thing. It was during, so he got suspended one game. If it was after he touched home plate, he got ejected, he would have been suspended for three games because it's post-game ejection, which is typically for like fighting and stuff like that, which makes zero sense. If I punch a guy in the jaw, that is an automatic three-game suspension because it'll be a post-game suspension. Like if I do it like in the handshake line is when I'm talking. But if you throw a helmet, same thing.
Listen, we've seen the home run celebration ones. Like that's ridiculous. Obviously, we've talked about a million of those. We'll do what happened against here. I don't want to talk about that anymore. The Hunter Hines one is just like
what are
Hunter
we doing?
Hines strikes out looking, and the ump basically is like, I mean, Hunter Hines is talking back to him, sure, but he is not walking directly towards him. And then the ump is like, all right, like, come at me, bro. Like, fight me IRL, you know? And it's like, no, you're the ump. That's not your job. You should be de-escalating. And what I hate about this,
it's like, look at the video, watch the video. You are in full gear and you are going to step up to this gentleman who, one, he's got a chemistry test tomorrow. He's got other shit to worry about. But also, like, to have the audacity, like, if they were on the streets and it was just a regular day, this guy would not come up to a gentleman like Hunter Hines and be mean to him. But to have that's why I feel like this is an ego trip. Because I feel 100%. Like I am in a position of power and I'm going to exert that. Now, of course, umpires, they got to leave the field somehow. I believe the exit was down the first baseline somewhere. But either way, you don't need to get around the kid. You don't need to get involved. Just honestly be quiet and do the job, which you did it. You did it. You called the last out.
That's what Steve does at work. Steve's just crying that he does the job.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know when I go to work, if I'm being honest. I believe this is work.
Steve, the lines are very blurred for Big Donkey. Yeah, that's really weird. Anyway, so this is terrible. I mean, wait, obviously. Let's one more, and then let's do your baseball BBQ ad read, and then we'll do players and pitchers of the week and say goodbye. Aria Gerson, the beat writer for the Tennessean, the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean, who I caught up with the other day just to give me the rundown on Vanderbilt before they got their ass whooped in South Carolina. She just tweeted out a screenshot of an email that she received which is Steve, would you like to do a dramatic reading of this email? And then also the follow-up, which is just amazing. This is true in Major League Baseball too, and something that like I cannot quick wrap my mind around is the fact that people, this happens on Twitter, but like people will like email or like leave voicemails for like beat writers, basically just like telling the beat writer that it's either their fault or like they're the ones responsible for the loss or the win or like, anyway. So Steve, why don't you read this email that Aria received from, I assume, a South Carolina fan.
Okay, so it starts off the subject line, Vanderbilt baseball.
Okay.
Blah, period. Another series Vanderbilt loses. Losses? Loses?
Loses. Yeah, loses, yeah.
Same old loser Vanderbilt, 4 exclamation points. Now, that's tough because it's in all caps, but there's periods. That's hard. That's a tough read.
And then Aria gave us more insight, saying that this is from the same person who sent this email earlier this season. This one's also great.
Yeah, this one's good. What is going to be your excuse when Tony Vols sweeps your washed out baseball coach? Go ahead and get it ready.
So the funniest thing about that one is that was before the season even started.
You know,
or maybe it was the first weekend or something. But it's just great. It's just like, it is Valentine's Day. Why? What does Aria have to do with this? But she's handling it well. It's just so funny. SEC, it just means more. That's my takeaway from that.
It means the most.
How are you going to send hate on Valentine's Day, a day of love? You know, this guy, he's out here thinking he cooked, but unfortunately he did not cook. But if he did cook and he needed to cut things, do we have a thing for you?
Oh, man.
I don't think this gentleman wants the LSU National Champions one, but if he does, probably true. We got it. The baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grill tool. Now, baseball barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools, and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional. Baseball barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out tailgate your rivals. I was tailgating the other day. My rival showed up. He just went home. He was like, oh my goodness, is that baseball barbecue? I'm out of here. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life. Thanks, baseball barbecue.
So I'm on their website right now, and I at some point will have to do like a real deep dive into the available teams that they have.
Mm-hmm. They have a decent bit.
It's a really fascinating number of teams. Jordan, you can buy both an Auburn Tigers baseball barbecue thing and a Cabrini Cavaliers baseball barbecue cutting board.
Wait, really?
Correct.
That's a wide range.
Well, that's especially wild because Cabrini baseball will not exist after this season. So that's like going to be a vintage situation here soon. But shouts out Cabrini. That maybe that's related to Kylie Kelsey. Maybe she made that happen as a Cabrini alum herself. All right, gentlemen, let's be done here with this podcast. Let's do our players and pitchers of the week. Steve, player of the week. I mean, go ahead. I mean, this is obvious for player of the week, but pitcher of the week we have not mentioned yet. So
go ahead. Pitcher of the week is, of course, good friend of the program, Peyton Tully, down at TCU. He threw a complete game. I believe it was a shutout.
Yeah, right. And I watched that one, man. It was really impressive.
He's just a bad man. Like, I would not want to be in the box when Peyton Tully is on the mound. He's a giant. He surrendered 5 hits, walked 3 batters, struck out 15. And he also had a great clip at the end of the game where he hits his chest twice, underlines the frogs. Does it? He does the right to left or left to right, which most people do. But it's a very funny clip because he looks very serious and very intense. And then I think about amphibians and I think about frogs. And I think about those little guys I see on my nightly walks. And I'm like, those guys are nice. Those are cool. Like, they're cute. And it's like, but I'm scared of him. But the frog, I like that. I'm actually not scared of him. He's like one of the friendliest people I've talked to. So big Peyton Tully fan.
He was incredible in that game at Oklahoma State. And my gosh, did they need it, because boys, TCU's 2-7 in Big 12 play. They ended up dropping the series the rest of the way in that weekend. Not that they're still in a bad place, but if Peyton Tully doesn't, show up on that Friday, they're in a really, really bad spot. So that was absolutely a massive, massive showing. Player of the week, Steve. Jake, you have a pitcher of the week?
No.
It's not Armando Sierra? No.
No.
No. No. Jake doesn't have anybody. All right. I am going to go. I'm going to stay.
I abstain. Jake
abstains. There are no pitchers in
practice. That's fair. Armando Sierra didn't throw this weekend.
He's the only one eligible.
He did not throw this weekend. That is true.
I'm going to go with Ryan Johnson of Dallas Baptist. I hate to do this to our boys of Sam Houston, but he just embarrassed them over the weekend. Complete game for him. This guy is funky, man. This is, as far as like frontline aces go, like he's right-handed, Steve. So again, but he counts as a weird arm slot guy. And as far as a starting pitcher, he's throwing hard too. Like 15 strikeouts, complete game against Sam Houston. He's really impressive. He's one of my favorite pitchers in the country. So he's fantastic. So
we hate to see it done to our boys, but that makes it that much more impressive.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Well said. Like the hottest team in baseball doing against them. But his motion's like Johnny Cueto met Walter Johnson. It's very weird.
There you go. That's not a bad comp. Steve, I know you wrote here that your player of the week is Blake Wright. I mean, we talked about him. Seriously, just go look at his game logs over the last 2 weeks. It is patently ridiculous. It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, RBIs aren't that important. Okay, but if you have that many RBIs, it's probably pretty important. So
insane.
But I am going to go with Vance Honeycutt this week, just because again, I know he had some injuries, it's a slow start, still striking out a good bit, but man, he is. It's just like, I just remember last year, like in the last 2 years, just thinking about like how once Vance Honeycutt is a junior, like it is really going to be like, he will be one of the best players in the country. And we're starting to really see that again now with what he did against Georgia Tech. So I hope I know he's only hitting .323, which in 2024 is no bueno. But I imagine that is going to change in a hurry. I think he's going to be ridiculous in the second half.
Jordan Honeycutt or Dakota Jordan?
Oh man. I mean, I like Dakota Jordan more, but okay. Honeycutt's probably a safer bet. But I don't know. I don't know, man.
They're both pretty good options.
We didn't really talk about that series very much. I know Anna wins that one, but anyway. All right, Steve, I think we can be done. We can say goodbye. So
get out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to the players for playing college baseball and passing your classes and not getting in trouble at school. And
some of them are not doing those things, I have to say. I bet you there are some that are not passing classes.
Only the scholars tune into the Shock Factor. Okay. We know that. Scholars, golden retrievers, Dachshunds primarily. That's our main clientele. So, if you're listening to this, good news, you're probably pretty smart. And probably good at baseball, but thank you so much for tuning in to another fantastic episode. Well, I'm biased, but I think it was a fantastic episode of the Shock Factor podcast. We had a great week of college baseball. It was a ton of fun. Thank you to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue, for making this all possible so we can have the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. But with that being said, let's go have another great week of college baseball.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.